Okay. So I welcome all of you once again. Thank you everyone for joining today's Bhakti Sangha conference call. And today we have really fortunate to have His Grace Vishwarupa Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of glories of Srimati Radharani. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much. Please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for valuable time and association in this conference call today. So we are really eager and fortunate to hear from you, Prabhuji. You can please take over the call. Hare Krishna. No, Prabhuji, you are still on mute.
Am I audible now to everybody?
Yes.
Yeah, so my humble request to all of you to put your videos on, because everybody is blank here, so I can't speak to the blank screen. So if devotees would like to open their videos, it will be very personal. Today is Radha Ashtami, very auspicious day for all of us to purify our hearts. It's my great privilege and my gratitude to all of you to have invited me for speaking to all of you. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Nananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So may I know how much time we have?
Prabhuji, we have like 1.5 hours from here.
Oh, wow. Hare Krishna. So, just for your information, I am traveling to Pune, and by Srila Prabhupada's unlimited grace, there are two big centers in Pune. One of them is the older one, which was in a rented place. It's called as a near military camp. And then there is another one which we built in an area called Kondwa, about 4 acres land, in a very beautiful temple, Radha Vrindavan Chandra. And right now I'm in the third place, which is near Pune, which is called as Nigdi, Iskon Ravet, which is another 30 kilometers from the older one. So we just had a beautiful Radha Ashtami festival. It's about 5 o'clock in India. So at about 10 o'clock in the morning, we had Abhishek, very grand gala Abhishek. And we had 2 katha. And then 11:30 to 1 p.m. IST. So it was great fun. So this is Srila Prabhupada's great mercy upon us. that he has introduced us to all these beautiful festivals and made our life so blissful, so happy. Otherwise, you know, even today when we are so happy celebrating Radha Ashtami, people are slogging, working, suffering in the material world because they were not introduced to Prabhupada or his movement. And because we are introduced to Prabhupada and his movement, we have festivals after festivals. In Radha Gopinath temple and in Govardhan Eco Village, there is a strict lockdown and curfew. Curfew means no gathering. Section 144. So suddenly there is little uprise of corona. But what the devotees are doing, they are unable to go to Govardhan Eco Village or to Radha Gopinath temple. That's why hundreds and hundreds of offerings are made at homes of devotees. And there's a vehicle plying from Gopinath temple to all the areas till about 100 kilometers radius, collecting the bhoga in boxes, and they are being delivered to Radha Gopinath temple, half and half to Govardhan Eco Village, to Radha Madan Mohan and to Radha Vrindavan Bihari. As a grand, around 2000 plus offerings are being made in places. So devotees are making two packets of prasadam, one for Radha Gopinath, one for Radha Vrindavan Bihari and Madan Mohanji. So although there are apparent setbacks and apparent prohibitions on gatherings of devotees, but the movement of Prabhupada is such that no material impediment can stop the upsurge, enthusiastic festivities that are offered to us by Srila Prabhupada. So, how much ever on the 125th birthday anniversary of Srila Prabhupada, how much gratitude we can offer is less only to Prabhupada, that he has filled our life with so much of joy. I think whole the world may know Gokulashtami, Janmashtami, the birth of Sri Krishna, and people are maybe quite aware. But Srila Prabhupada's mercy is such that we are also introduced to a very beautiful festival of Radharani's birth. Radharani appears in this material world, because that is very confidential and it's a secret of our devotional life. Everybody may keep struggling to achieve Krishna, and they may not achieve Krishna. But the most difficult attainment of Krishna is made very easy by taking shelter of Radharani. So Radharani is a confidential secret of our life of bhakti. So we are very, very fortunate. Especially at this side of India, Radha Gopinath temple, we are a little bit more fortunate because we were introduced to Barsana Dham at the very beginning of our spiritual life. Right in the beginning, you know, we were just 1 year old devotees, and we had just gone with Radhana Swami to Vrindavan Dham Yatra. In those days, you know, there was no arrangement of prasadam. You would travel with whatever available transport, no guarantee of transport, no prasadam timings, whatever. Sometimes we would beg as yatris to the local muddy huts, bijbasis, and we would collect some rotis and sabji and drink some buttermilk. And that's how our yatra will go on. And yatra will begin at 4:30 in Mangalarti time in Vrindavan temple. And we will leave at 5:15 in the dark. And whatever tempo, whatever rickshaw, whatever transport will be available, we'll travel. And then we'll keep walking after getting down from place to place. And His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj will go on telling the stories on the spot of the holy place. Now it's all a dream to have Radhana Swami at the holy place and sitting and telling stories, because there used to be only few, sometimes 50, 60, 100 devotees. So it was possible. And it would be said that there are 100 devotees are coming. So large number of people are coming with Radhana Swami. And now we have 6,000 devotees going for Yatra. There is no more on the spot Yatra, I mean lectures. There are groups are divided and everything. But what I was trying to tell you that like that we had gone in 1989 somewhere to attend something called as Julan Yatra Yatra. We did not know what is Julan Yatra Yatra. Then we came to know, oh, there's all the lords are swinging on a beautiful swing made of silver, iron, I mean silver and flowers and big, small. And everywhere the Lord is a swinging and swinging. So we go at 3:30 p.m. and we come back at 8:39 p.m. visiting all the temples of Vrindavan. So much of joy and festivities. And like that, we also went again in 1990. And in 1991, we again went to Vrindavan. Suddenly the Brijvasi said, Hare Krishna. Suddenly the Brijvasi said, why don't you hold the eye camp over here in Barsana? I said, wow, we are holding eye camps of 25 patients at that time, small scale. So we thought, we are not so experienced in holding eye camps in so far distance. So we just looked at Radhana Swami. And he nodded, he said, yes, we should hold. So when he said that, we started holding the eye camp. And the first eye camp in 1992 in Barsana, we operated about 185 cataract operations in a village setup in the middle of the freezing cold, just without snowing, that's all was remaining, so cold, 0 degrees centigrade. And so why I said we are a little more fortunate, because we not only were introduced to Barsana in a very personal way, but we were also instantly offered some intense service right in the childhood of Krishna consciousness till today. Till today. And that time 185 surgeries were such a big number for us, from 25 to 185. And now we are very easily doing 1100 surgeries in 3 weeks' time. We went with 68 people in the first camp and lived in the very, very austere conditions. And now we go with 400 devotees, doctors, nurses, volunteers from all over the world and serve there. So I think because of this unique opportunity, we were introduced to Barsana in a very intimate way, very personal way. We saw places and we are still seeing places which are so, you know, interiors. Nobody would go there. They're just like neglected places, but there are most intense holy places with divine pastimes of the divine couple in Barsana. So this is Radharani's extraordinary mercy. Because all of you would be very happy to know. You must have read the book Journey Home. And in Journey Home, after meeting the Ghanashyam Baba in Vrindavan, the person called Richard Slavin went walking to Barsana on the instruction of Ghanashyam Baba, that you will have some deeper realizations of your spiritual quest. So he went and he reached there for the first time in the December of 1971. That's the time he arrived in Barsana. He stayed there for 6 months. And in those 6 months, in the company of local, very exalted, advanced souls, he had some deepest of realizations of spiritual life. And my dear friends, in today, in this year 2021, in December, it is 50th anniversary of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj's arrival in Barsana. It's 50 years now. And so much mercy is there. I cannot fathom that. That we got to know some intimate Brijvasis because of that. We got to know some intimate holy places. We got to know we got to have some wonderful seva to the Brijvasis. So many things happened. And this year, what is happening? In 2012, we could purchase 5 acres of land in the village of Chitra Sakhi, one of the Ashtasakhis of Radharani. Chitralekha or Chitra Gopi or Chitra Sakhi. Her village is called Chiksoli, or in historic times it was called Chikitsapur. And we have been holding all the eye camps, staying in the village of Chitra Sakhi only. So there only we got 5 acres of land. And on the 50th anniversary of Radhanath Swami's arrival in Barsana, we are doing our groundbreaking ceremony in December 2021, to build our own hospital to serve the Brijvasis for next 100, 150 years. Our next 4 generations, 5 generations of our devotee family, they can go there and serve the Brijvasis and attain the mercy of Radharani. This has been so much fortunate. We don't feel that we deserve this and we have qualifications or we have done some austerities to, you know, achieve such kind of mercy. But Radharani is very merciful, and she has been giving us increasing services each and every year. And apart from the annual camps, we used to have monthly camps, and then we have started daily services from 2011, 6th October, Dashera Day, on the Vijayadashmi. We started our hospital there, full-time service. And each and every year, the number of patients are increasing. And so much of love we have received from the Brijvasis. So how do we repay? It's a very difficult situation to think of repaying. It's just mercy and mercy and mercy. Otherwise, you know, there are 0.9 or about 1 billion people who visit Barsana every year to have darshan, to have, you know, holy pilgrimage and have prasad and go back. And only few hundred maybe, or maybe 1,000 people out of that 1 billion people have some seva in Barsana. Rest all, they come, have darshan, go around parikrama, go back home. And we are amongst those chosen, fortunate people who have been given some seva. We also go on to holy places, pilgrimage and katha and prasadam and satsang and everything we do. But we have some tangible service. And it is explained in scriptures that bhakti is very esoteric. Rupa Goswami explains that bhakti is the only thing which attracts Krishna's attention. Sri Krishna Akarshini, she attracts. When you perform bhakti, you attract the attention of Krishna. Nothing else attracts Krishna. Those who are doing karma kanda, or those who are desiring moksha, or those who are desiring mystic perfections. Bhakti, mukti, siddhi, kami, sakala, ashanta. Krishna bhakta nishkama, ata eva shanta. So this is Krishna bhakti, which is very attractive for Sri Krishna. But there is something called as Braj Bhakti, which is not attracting Krishna, but which makes Krishna sell himself to those who are performing Braj Bhakti. These are Brajvasis. Brajvasis who are very special souls, and they are Sorry for the interruption due to internet fluctuation. So I was saying that Braj Bhakti, Jagan Mohini Maya steals the knowledge of the Brajbasis that Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what remains of Sri Krishna is an ordinary person. This is an ordinary boy, coward boy, herding cows and laying in cow dung and urine and drinking cow, stealing butter and friend and a boyfriend and a girlfriend like that. Sri Krishna can behave the way he wants to behave. Because there is no aura around him now. There is no aura around him that he is Supreme Lord and awe and reverence and prayers and worship. Nothing. Nobody is worshipping him there. They only love him. That's all. Loving is higher than worshipping. Please understand. If someone loves you and some other person worships you, better you like the person who loves you, because the person who loves you will be most likely selfless, and the person who worships you may be having some motivation behind worshipping you. So Brajvasis don't worship Krishna. They just love Krishna. That's all. They just love Krishna because he is Krishna. He's so lovable. He's so wonderful. And why I'm telling you all these things? Because these Brajvasis are very special. They are, this is their last birth. And in especially Barsana, those who take birth are very, very dear to Radharani. And Radharani loves them so much that she doesn't give them any opulence, doesn't give them very high education, or doesn't give them any beautiful body or some powerful position in the society, so that they don't become proud. Because what do we become proud of? Of our money, of our education, of our beauty, of our social status. All these things make us proud. So Radharani does not give them any of these things, so that they remain humble all the while they are living their human life. And then she keeps them immersed in the love of Radha and Krishna, of herself and Krishna. And at the end of the life, she takes them back to Godhead. And anyone who does any offense there during that time, by mistake, then she makes them take birth there only again, not outside of Braj. Once you take birth in the Braj Bhumi, even if there is a punishment in the form of a dog's body or a pig's body or a monkey's body, you come back in Braj Bhumi only. So there also, under Krishna's supervision, Radharani's supervision, you have some sufferings. But finally, when you leave Braj Bhumi, you go back to Godhead in Goloka Vrindavan. So I am giving this description because only when you serve these Brajbasis, you get a taste of what is called as Braja Upasana or Braja Bhakti. I will tell you only one simple thing. What is the meaning of Bhakti and what is the meaning of Braj Bhakti? In Braj Bhakti, no one is asking anything from Krishna. In Braja Upasana, everybody is just giving Krishna. You see, in Brajbasis, in Krishna was there, Radharani was there. You know, nobody asked anything from Krishna. Everybody was just simply giving Krishna. They would give butter, they would give buttermilk, they would give milk, they would give yogurt, they would give everything that he wants. They would love him, they would kiss him. But nobody is asking anything from Krishna. Even today also there are some temples in Vrindavan where the pujaris or goswamis, they sit outside the temple, and before you enter the temple, they tell you, please don't ask anything from our baby Krishna. If at all you want to do something, you give Krishna. You give your love. And especially they will say, give blessings to Krishna. Especially when Radharani was born and when Krishna was born, Yashoda Mai did not want anybody to see Krishna because he was so beautiful. So she thought, oh, they will have bad omen if they see such a beauty of Krishna. I will not show him to my villagers, you know. So the villagers came and they said, we have not come to ask anything. We have just come to give Krishna blessings. So everyone, all the gopikas who came, they only blessed Krishna. You live long, oh dear one. give pleasure to your parents and everybody else and be happy and make everybody happy. But there was no demand as such. There was no prayer to them, to him, to have something from him. So when you get an opportunity to serve a true Brijvasi, and a true Brijvasi is pleased with your service, and he gives you a smile in happiness, that smile is Radha and Krishna are smiling at you. It is through their service that they get pleased. So beautiful, actually. And when you please a Brijvasi, genuinely by doing some genuine seva, selfless seva, then Radharani recommends your name to Krishna on the very day, very time. Please, oh dear Krishna, see this devotee. He has served my dear Brijvasi. He has pleased him. Please favor him by accepting him as your own or her as your own. And this has been the teaching that we have received right from 1992 when we started the ICAM. That serve every Brijvasi as Radharani's dearmost devotee coming to you in an apparent need of some blindness or some inability to see properly. And then you serve them, and when you serve them, you see Krishna, see Radharani in each and everybody, and serve them as if they are your mother and father. Treat them like that and please them. When they smile at you, Radharani will be smiling at you. Radharani will recommend your name to Krishna. And when you serve, you also lose a lot. When you serve them in Barsana, you lose a lot. Lose your false ego. You lose your lust, you lose your anger, you lose your illusion, you lose envy, you lose intoxication, you lose your greed. So many things you lose by serving here. And you gain love for the Lord. You gain the favor of the Lord. You gain the mercy of the Lord. Radharani loves you. Radharani accepts you as her own. And then she reveals the most esoteric secrets of loving devotional service to her beloved Sri Krishna, which are hidden in her own dham called Barsana. Hare Krishna. So today is that auspicious appearance day of that most confidential person in the life of Krishna. The morning also I was telling that life of Krishna in Vrindavan is the private life of Krishna. It's his most intimate family life of Krishna. His public life is, you know, killing demons and setting up the Mahabharata war and setting up the kingdom in Dwarka and doing all the political business. It's all his public duty, external services. But his private life is his life in Vrindavan. And his most private life, which is unheard of and which is very confidential, which is also, he would not like to distribute it to everybody as knowledge about that. That is his most private life with Radharani in Barsana. And that is supposed to be very confidential, and that is supposed to be not discussed in public. That is supposed to be somebody's, the most supreme personality of Godhead. It is his private life. Who has an access to the data of that private life? But somehow, all the data of the private life of Supreme Personality of Godhead is hidden in the hearts of pure devotees. And they somehow reveal to those sincere devotees who are very dear to Radha and Krishna. It is not that we are attempting to poke our nose into private affairs of Sri Krishna's life, but it is their mercy that they are revealing these secrets to us through the agency of pure devotees. So it is through our beloved spiritual master who had association of some purest of all devotees who ever lived on the planet in those days in 1971. And those pure devotees in Barsana had association of some more pure devotees and more advanced souls whose life stories are unbelievable, you know, the way they lived. There were devotees in Barsana, not very far from today, but about 100 years ago, there were devotees around Gehwar Kund who would daily talk to Radharani. And there were people who would hidingly sit behind their hutment, behind their kuti, and hear that discussion with that the pure devotee used to have with Radharani. And then suddenly that devotee would come to know there are some youngsters hiding and listening. Then he would come out and shoo them away and get angry with them. Because that was his private realization, a private association with Srimati Radharani. Amazing. We just sometimes we feel it's unbelievable. How it is possible? But those whose hearts are filled with love, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, their heart is simply selfless and filled with pure love for Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna speak to them. Radha and Krishna has spoken to Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Lokanath Goswami. All our Goswamis, Radha and Krishna have spoken personally. They have given their association to these pure devotees. And there are so many other devotees from other sampradayas in Vrindavan who have one-to-one dialogue with Radha and Krishna. Ghanshyam Baba is to have dialogue with Radha and Krishna. Amazing. So, through the agency of our spiritual master and other pure devotees, we come to know about other pure devotees. And from the story of other pure devotees and other pure devotees, we come to know the stories of Radha and Krishna. So that Radharani, who is the most confidential aspect of Krishna's private life, it is her birthday today. How wonderful. I was mentioning about Gaivarkund to you. This particular Gaivarkund is also called as Radha Sarovar. It is in the middle of Gaivarban. Gaivarban is Gaivar forest. And Gaivar forest is the heart of Barsana. Gaivar forest is the heart of Barsana. Barsana is the heart of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Barsana is the heart of Vrindavan Dham. And inside Barsana also there are many wonderful situations and locations which are grade-wise more confidential and more confidential and more confidential. So this Gaivarban starts from Radharani's temple, goes on all the way to the end of Barsana, and then further continues to be in the village of Chiksoli, village of Chitragopi, until the end of Chitragopi's village, this forest continues. And what is the speciality of this forest? This forest has been cultivated personally with her own hands by Radharani. She has planted all the creepers, she has planted all the trees, all the, you know, vines and fruiting and flowering trees, every single thing she has cultivated. She has planted, she has given water, she has maintained, she has personally taken care of them. Something similar we heard about Mayapur, Navadvip. This particular place also was personally created by Radharani. Because Krishna was spending time with Viraja Gopi, so Radharani was getting little jittery. So she created this beautiful place called Navadvip, and she planted all the trees and the creepers and vines and flowers and fruits. And then she played flute sitting in that beautiful forest which she created. And Krishna came running, giving up the company of Viraja Gopi. And Krishna said, I will stay here personally. I will bring my devotees here. I will bring all my associates here and never leave this place. And that place is now known as Navadvip Dham, made by own hands of Radharani. So similarly, Gaivarban is made by Radharani herself. And in the childhood, Radharani would get vines and creepers married with big trees, with Krishna being on the side of the trees. Krishna would be on the side of the trees and they would marry the creepers with the trees. They would have these childhood pastimes. Can you imagine such kind of things? You know, even in Krishna Lila, this is very difficult to find such kind of pastimes. So in this particular forest, you all know what is Rasa Mandala. Rasa Mandala is a place where Krishna performs Rasa Lila. So wherever Krishna performed major Rasa Lila repeatedly, those places are called as favorite places of Radha and Krishna of performing Rasa Lila. For example, you go to Chandra Sarovar, there is Rasa Mandala. You go to Bamsibad, there is Rasa Mandala. You go to Barsana, you go to Nandagaon, you go to Kamyavan, and you go to many other places. There are famous Rasa Mandalas where Krishna has to perform Rasa Leela as a favorite pastime of that place. In Gheverban, under the mountain of Manu Mandir, there are so many private Rasa Mandalas. Why I call private? Anyway, it is private, only gopis go. But this is private of private, because only Radha and Krishna only go there and dance. And now the gopis also go there. In another language, it is called as Nibruta Nikunja Leela. Nibruta Nikunja means, anyway private. It's a closed forest from all sides. Only one entry is there. And at the entry, there is one gopi standing, only allowing selected people inside. But Nibruta Nikunja is closed from all sides. And there's a one gate and there's a gopi standing. But she allows no one to go inside except Radha and Krishna. All of them go inside and prepare everything and come out. And at the time of beginning of pastimes, only Radha and Krishna allowed. They are also decorated by gopis only under the guidance of Vrinda Devi. And they are let inside. And then Krishna is holding Radharani's hand, lifting the creepers flowing on the ground from the top of the arches, lifting with left hand and creating way, holding Radharani's hand by his right hand and letting her, bringing her inside the deep groves of Gheverban, Ghever Kunj. And inside there is flower bed and there are all beautiful flowers and birds and trees, and all the trees participate in associating with Radha and Krishna and assisting them in their most loving, intimate pastimes. And they spend the whole night alone in the deep forest, lit by the moonlight and resounding sounds of cuckoo birds in the night for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. Usually they will not sing in the night. When Radha and Krishna performing pastimes in Gheverban, so Radha and Krishna are performing pastimes and all the birds are awake, all the flowers are blossoming, all the trees are giving fruits, and everybody is singing and dancing with them. So at one time what happened? So Radharani, they just were alone at the banks of Gheverkund, in the deep forest of Gheverkunj, and they decided to do Shringar of each other. That is called as Paraspar Shringar Leela. That's a typical pastime in Vrindavan Dham, that Radharani decorates Krishna and Krishna decorates Radharani. That is their special Leela. Paraspar means each other. Shringar means decoration. Paraspar Shringar Leela. So it took many hours and Krishna decorated Radharani very beautifully. And Radharani decorated Krishna very beautifully. And both of them were dressed up now, ready. And then Radharani tells Krishna, okay, Shyam Sundarji, please describe my beauty. Please describe. How do I look? So now she was looking so beautiful that Krishna, the most eloquent linguist, he couldn't find words to glorify the beauty of Radharani. He just couldn't find any comparison, any simile. She was looking here and there. What do I compare with the beauty of Krishna, Radharani? He couldn't find any object around him in the beautiful forest of Gheverkunj. He couldn't find anything which is comparable to the beauty of the lotus face of Radharani. She was looking so beautiful, so effulgent. So golden effulgence was coming from her body. Such fragrance was coming. Such beautiful eyes and nose and ears and earrings and lips. Unbelievable. So then he looked up in the sky and he saw the moon. And the moon was very beautiful. Full moon, with all his beauty. And moon also stores Amruta. The demigods have given the custody of Amruta, the nectar, to moon god. So because of that, moon always is beautiful. So moon is also sometimes addressed as feminine. Chandrama. Chandrama is feminine aspect of the moon. So suddenly Krishna thought, okay, let me now compare the lotus feet of Radharani, lotus face of Radharani with the moon. So he said, your face is as beautiful as the moon. What do you expect? You expect that Radharani will be very happy because your face is now compared with the moon. But instead of getting happy, she became very unhappy. She became very upset. She became almost angry. And she said, "You are insulting me. You're not glorifying me. You're insulting me by comparing myself with the moon. I will tell you the reason behind it, why I don't like to be compared to the moon. Because my beauty is spotless and the moon has many spots. How can a spotted moon be compared to my spotless beauty? Number one. Number two is the moon is always decreasing in size in one fortnight. And he disappears at the end of the fortnight. And again starts growing. So his beauty is decreasing and decaying due to the waxing and waning fortnights. And my beauty is never waning. Never waning. Only waxing, only increasing. Ever increasing. Everlasting, ever increasing beauty I have got. How can you compare with me something which is decaying in between? Third reason I don't like myself to be compared with moon is that the moon gets eclipsed regularly by Rahu and Ketu. Geographically by the shadow of Earth, the moon gets eclipsed, and that time it's very inauspicious to even look at the moon. You are not supposed to look at the moon when the moon is eclipsed. That's how our Indian science tells us. No photography, no eye-to-eye contact. It's very inauspicious to see an eclipsed moon. So, the person who gets eclipsed with somebody else forcibly and loses his beauty and luster and becomes inauspicious. How do you dare to compare my face with that thing? Fourth reason. Moon is dependent on the sunlight to have his own light. The moon doesn't have his own light. Moon has only reflected light which comes from sun. My beauty is self-shining. I do not need anybody's support to express my beauty or to exhibit my beauty. My beauty is independent of anybody else. Fifth reason is over. And she said that I would not even mind these five reasons. I would ignore the five reasons. But the next reason, I just simply cannot accept. Just unacceptable, intolerable to me. Because my rival Gopi, her name is Chandravali. And half the name of hers is Chandra. That is moon. So I just cannot tolerate this. That you are comparing me with somebody whose half name is my rival's name. So I just cannot accept it. And she just talked all these things in agony, in pain. And she just said, "I am going." That's all. She went away. She was so sad. So you can see, such a beautiful situation was there. You know, Paraspar Shringar Leela. They decorated each other. They were supposed to have good time. They were supposed to describe the beauty of each other's lotus face and how do they look, and they were going to see their beauty in the eyes of the beloved, of each other. And suddenly, in the attempt of pleasing Radharani, Krishna displeased her unknowingly, unexpectedly. And you can see how sad Krishna must be. Why for any sake, why I compared her face with moon? And I can't even now take my words back. It's not delete. It's not backward, you know, like we can't rewind your show. Okay, let's get back to the beginning point. I'll take my words and I delete all the words. No. It's already, the arrow is already shot. And whatever damage it has to do is already done. You cannot come back and say sorry and get back to the original situation. Let me start describing your beauty again from all over. No, it's already gone. She went at the bottom of Mangad, you know, the mountain where she exhibits her Man. Man is a very difficult word to understand. In the contemporary material world, Man is, the contemporary of Man is Krodha, that is anger. And the Krodha is basically always based on when your desire, selfish desire is not fulfilled, then you get Krodha. So, Krodha is based on selfishness, Swartha. And mani is performed only to increase the love between the beloveds. So Radharani exhibits man, something like krodha, just to increase the love of Krishna for her, and her love for Krishna and Krishna's love for her. This is a very divine aspect of love. The love is made of 8 loving sentiments. That is prem, rati, rag, anurag, bhava. There are so many aspects of prem. And man is one of them. And man is one of the most difficult to understand. Very difficult to interpret. Very difficult to comprehend. And that particular faculty of man, Radharani exhibits to just increase the love between him, her and Krishna. So, and she, then Krishna is very upset. So he takes shelter of the gopis and Lalita and Vishakha and please go and, you know, please pacify her. She's not talking to me. Then Radharani sitting there angrily, and Lalita goes and tries to talk to her. She just climbs the mountain, goes on a higher level. Then she comes back and Krishna says, go, please go. Why are you not going? She's still upset. So she goes again there and she further climbs up. Whatever level she comes, she goes higher up. I mean, I'm not ready to talk to you. Please don't talk to me on behalf of the debauchee whose representative you are now. Although you are my friend, but now you are coming as a representative of that debauchee. I don't like that debauchee. Don't talk to me about him. Don't plead from his side. I don't want to do anything with him. My God, this is a very serious situation. So she comes back. Again Krishna sends. Again she comes back. Again Krishna sends. And in the process, she climbs up, and goes on the top of the mountain. You can imagine. And Lalita has a very specific expression. She says, you both have made me a football. In Braj language, it is called Chaugan ki gend. Chaugan ki gend means what our football is. That means everybody hits the ball and ball goes in the direction wherever the person hits. The ball has no independence. The ball is just going here and there as per the kicks of the people who are kicking it. So she says, you both have made me a football. I have lost my independence. I go there, she kicks me to you and you kick me to her and with no result. So I'm now tired. I'm now frustrated. I'm not able to help you. At the same time, I'm not able to pacify her. What is the use of my existence? And plus I am being tossed here and there. Finally, Lalita Devi gives an idea to Krishna to become a peacock. And then Krishna becomes peacock and he dances incognito, and Radharani is amused with that new peacock and with his new dance, and then she joins him in the dance, and at the end of the dance she comes to know he is none other than Shyam Sundar, and by that time her anger has gone. So that is the Leela of Morkuti. Morkuti is right in front of the Manugad, where she sees that beautiful peacock who is dancing in the most unique style. And the peacock goes on dancing more and more beautifully as he sees that Radharani is becoming happy to see him dancing. So he goes on dancing more and more, attracting more and more peacocks to dance with him. And then she joins him and she joins with more and more peahens with her. And dancing. They take a very close pose in dancing. And suddenly, after becoming very close to that peacock, she comes to know, oh, this is my dear Shyam Sundar. And by that time, she's forgotten her man. And they are more loving to each other than before. So this is not the end of peacock pastime. That place is for peacock pastimes. Imagine. Variety of peacock pastimes take place there in the company of Radha and Krishna. One time Radharani came there with her peahens. She has trained the peahens to dance. So the peahens come there and start dancing, and the peacocks come from Krishna's side and they start dancing. And both of them cheer their peacocks and peahens. And the peacocks and peahens, they dance and dance and dance, and under the cheerful nature of Radha and Krishna, and they really make a beautiful dance, and all the gopis give music from their bangles and from their ankle bells. They create divine music, and then the clouds and the thunders add in the music in a very melodious way. And thus the peacock dance takes place. At some time, Radha and Krishna come there, okay? On the peak, on the mountain called Morkuti, there's a small hillock called Morkuti, where originally Krishna danced as peacock. So they come there, and you know, as soon as they come there, they both have their upper cloth. That's called Uttariya Vastra. That is the, you know, like a cloth we put, which is like a very beautiful thing when men wear like this, and women also wear dupatta, which you cover their upper bodies with upper cloth. So the breeze is coming there, and the breeze is making the upper cloths flow in the sky like this, upwards from the bodies of Radha and Krishna in the upward direction. This all, they all are floating in the breeze. And the breeze is fragrant. The breeze is cool. The breeze is carrying the fragrance of the pollens of lotus flowers over the Yamuna River. And the breeze is flowing slowly also. It's not harsh. It's a very pleasant breeze. And the pleasant breeze, fragrant breeze, is making the upper cloths fly in the sky. Looking at their flying cloths, the clouds get very inspired. And they start having very minimal thunders, thundering sound, very beautiful background thundering sounds. And they start dropping few drops of rain. And those drops of rain are called as Vari Bindu. Vari Bindu is very mild rain, very pleasant. You don't mind getting wet in that rain. Very pleasant rain. It's not harsh rain that you run inside the shade. And suddenly the rain comes, you run inside the shade. Or you open your umbrellas. But this Vari Bindu is like rim jim, rim jim, rim jim. Rim jim, rim jim means very pleasant showers. So they start flowing. As soon as the clouds come and make a very beautiful thunderous sound with small beautiful shower, the peacocks gather there because peacocks are always looking in the sky. As soon as clouds come and start dropping some droplets of rain, peacocks get very inspired. They, you know, spread their feathers and they start dancing, looking at the spread feathers of peacocks. So peahens come, they get attracted, they start then joining the dance of the peacocks, and then Krishna and Radharani get inspired and they start dancing with the peacocks and peahens, and Radharani dances like peahen, Krishna dances like peacock, and everybody dancing. Radharani is dancing, Krishna is dancing, and Krishna takes out his flute and starts playing the flute, and then all the gopis start banging their bangles very melodiously, and they sit down and bang their legs with each other and create very beautiful symphony of ankle bells and the bangles and the flute. And these three things make such a superfluous orchestra or symphony that in the sky is all apsaras and gandharvas and kinnaras and yakshas, all the musician demigods, they join in the sky and they want to match with the symphony created by this flute and everything, you know. But they are unable to match the divinity of the symphony that is created by Krishna's flute and the ankle bells and the bangles. And thus they keep dancing and dancing and dancing. At some times, Krishna will dress up as peacock and Radharani will dress up as peahen and gopis will dress up as peahens, and then all peahens will join. They're not peahens actually, they are dressed up as peahens, ornamented as peahens, and they all dance with the peacock named Krishna, Shyam Sundar. And they just go on dancing and dancing and dancing. And the demigods are mad, looking from the skies, the beautiful dance of all these peacocks. And daily, it's a Nitya Leela, eternal pastime happening at the top of the Morkuti. Radha and Krishna are simply enjoying becoming peacocks and peahens. But the most esoteric pastime of all that is Man Leela. For various reasons, she gets upset and Radha Krishna goes and, you know, pleads her, and it's so important for Krishna to make Radharani happy, and by mistake sometimes and by intention sometimes, he makes her unhappy. Most times she becomes unhappy because he is found with Chandravali, he is found with other gopis, he is found swinging with Lalita Devi at Lalita Kund in Nandagaon, and she is supposed to swing with him in the Julan festival. So he's angry. At times she is teaching him music and he's not learning only. He's making mistakes after mistakes after mistakes in the flute which she's teaching him. And then she comes to know, he is simply making mistake, though he wants to stay longer in the class with me. He wants to extend the class. So he can have more association. He's so smart, he can learn everything quickly. But he will not learn it quickly. He will make mistakes, so that Radharani will teach him again and again and again. So he can be with her longer and longer time. And while dancing, he will put wrong steps. He will not put right steps. Although he has learned it immediately. She is the teacher of Krishna for flute, for dance also. She is the original dance teacher of Krishna. Because of that, he is known as Nataraj. So that sentence, she gets upset. When she is very simple hearted, you know, she is not so crooked. But after some time, she comes to know, this guy is cheating her. This guy is cheating me. He knows everything, but he is putting wrong steps. She gets upset and she goes up. And sometimes Rasa Lila is there and Radharani is, everybody is ready and Krishna comes late. Then she gets upset and she goes away. This is the beauty of Barsana. Maan Lila. And at one time, Radha and Krishna were sitting. You know, and Krishna had worn that day lockets which had mirrors in that. I hope you understand that on the chest of Krishna, there were many ornaments which all were having many mirrors in that. You know? So, Radharani was sitting with Krishna and then suddenly they faced each other. And when she faced Krishna, she saw a beautiful gopi, rather many, many gopis in the heart area of Krishna. So, she got very upset. She said, I am sitting with you and you are sitting with somebody else at on your chest. There are so many gopis on your chest. And she was so angry. And she said, I won't talk to you. And Krishna had hard time to tell her that is none other than you, my dear Radharani. It is you, not many. There are many mirrors in my necklaces. And in each mirror, you see yourself. And you are saying that there are many girls which are associating with you while I am with you. So I don't want to be with you. I want to go away. Then Krishna had to tell finally, okay, now you move. You please move. And then when you move, you find all the girls in my mirror will also move. And then you will come to know that it is you only. So Radharani started moving. And when she saw the images in the mirrors were moving, then she believed that it is nobody else but only herself. So this is the different mandilas of Radharani. You know, coming back to the birth ceremony, birth Leela of Radharani, which is today's festival. The root of the whole appearance of Radharani goes back to long back when Mother Earth took the form of a cow and she went to Brahma complaining about the atrocities caused by demons like Kamsa. Then Brahma also had many demigods complaining to him about the same thing. So Brahma took all the demigods and Mother Earth to the bank of the ocean of milk. And the Kshirasagar Vishnu, the Vishnu who is lying in the milk ocean, he came out and gave darshan. Usually he would give only message, heart-to-heart transmission message. But this time he came out. And he took all the demigods along with Brahma and the cow, the Mother Earth, to Goloka Vrindavan. And Goloka Vrindavan is a long story how Krishna gave a lot of mercy to all demigods and solaced the earth, consoled the earth, and then told everybody to appear on earth and he would be coming very soon. At that time, Radharani also was with him in the spiritual world while Krishna was instructing everybody to appear in different dynasties before he appears. Take their positions and then assist him in his pastimes. Radharani fainted that time. So Krishna was very puzzled why Radharani fainted. Somehow she was revived back to consciousness and she was asked by Krishna. Krishna asked her, why did you faint? What happened? So Krishna said, she said to Krishna that you only said, no, you are going to go. So in the anticipatory separation from you, I felt pain and I felt unconscious. But Krishna said, who told you I'm going to go alone? I'm going to go with you only. Oh, really? But I'm not going to come with you, even if you take me. If you leave Golok Vrindavan and go to earth, how do you think I will come with you? I will not be leaving Golok Vrindavan in any case. Whichever place there is no Yamuna, there is no Govardhan, and there is no Braj Bhumi, Vrindavan Dham, I will not go to that place. So Krishna said, yes, I know your heart very well, that you don't want to give up the association of Vrindavan Dham and Govardhan and Yamuna. So knowing your heart, I have already sent a part of Goloka Vrindavan to Mother Earth along with full Govardhan and full Yamuna. So we should be very thankful and grateful to Radharani. It is only because of her that we have Vrindavan on our earth in India. If she wouldn't have said that and she would have agreed to go with him, there would be no Vrindavan, no Govardhan, no Yamuna on earth. So we are extremely grateful to have, you know, Yamuna, Govardhan on earth. And then she said that, yeah, I will come. Now as you have sent everything, I have come. I will come with you. But when I will appear, I will not open my eyes or say anything or hear anything except I see you first. I will like to use my eyes only to see you, hear anything connected to with you, and speak only your name. Otherwise, I will not open my eyes at all. So in the course of time, everybody appeared in the earth, Bhishmadeva and Kauravas and Pandavas and all Vasudeva and Shurasena, Parjanya Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj, all of them took their positions, Vishwanu Maharaj. The history of Radharani's dynasty is such that Radharani has taken birth in Surya Vamsha, in the Solar dynasty. Historically, there are only two dynasties. All of us belong to only either one of the two. Either the Solar dynasty or Lunar dynasty. Chandra Vamsha or Surya Vamsha. So Lord Ramachandra, King Raghu, and Shraddhadev Manu, and Radharani, Vrishabhanu Maharaj, they have all appeared in Surya Vamsha. In fact, Vrishabhanu Maharaj is the incarnation of Sun God, Surya Vamsha, Vivaswan. And Krishna has taken birth in Chandra Vamsha. So Krishna, when Krishna appeared on the Ashtami day, on the 8th day of the waxing moon, the moon was half the size. So he said, if my Lord of my life is full moon of my life is coming, taking birth, why should I remain half size? So he became full moon on the 8th day. The only aberration in the law of nature that occurred, that was at the birth of Lord Krishna. So there was one Mataji called Kalavati Devi. She was one of the three most chaste ladies in the whole creation. Other two were the mother of Sita Devi, wife of Janak Maharaj, and other one was the mother of Parvati Devi, the wife of Himalayas. And third one was Kalavati. And this Kalavati got married with King Suchandra, and both of them performed tapasya for 12,000 years, celestial years. Some say 100 celestial years, some say 12,000 earthly years. Whatever, for us is a too long period for performing any tapasya. For us, one Janmashtami is enough. That's the highest tapasya we can do. At the worst of our mentality, we can perform that vrata of tapasya of Janmashtami. Anyways, so they performed the tapasya. At the end of tapasya, Brahma appeared. And Brahma said, yes, what do you want? So Suchandra said, moksha, liberation. So immediately Brahma said, tathastu, I grant you liberation. And the most chaste lady, one of the three chaste ladies, Kalavati Devi, got very angry. She said, Brahma, how dare you give liberation to my husband when I am alive? What will I do? I will become a widow. I will become husbandless. How dare you do this? I will curse you. My dear devotees, please know, most of you are women over here. Even Lord Brahma is scared of a chaste lady. One who is chaste in her nature. When Lord Brahma is very scared. Brahma got really scared because she was about to curse him. Immediately he, somehow dealt with the situation in different ways. And okay, fine. I am not saying that he will get moksha now. For time being, you both of you will stay in my Brahmaloka and enjoy Brahmaloka luxuries, spiritual luxuries, subtleties and divinities. You stay with me and my abode from now onwards till the end of Dwapara, 28th Dwapara Yuga in the Vaivasvata Manu's regime, you know. Something called as Manvantara. Manvantara is 71 Divya Yugas. One Manu rules for that much time. So when Vaivasvata Manu, that means the Manu who is the son of Sun God, he will have his 28th cycle. In that 28th cycle, at the end of Dwapara Yuga, the internal potency of the Supreme Lord will appear as your daughter. And you will raise her as your own daughter. And at the end of that life, after serving her, you will become perfect and both of you will enter Golok Dham. So somehow he managed to save himself from the curse. Somehow intelligently, on the spot, he decided something, you know. So that was the situation between them and Brahma. And then in the course of time, they passed away in that life. And next life, they appeared as Vrishabhanu and Kirtida. Vrishabhanu was born to King Mahibhanu in Barsana area. King Mahibhanu was the son of Kunjabhanu. Kunjabhanu gave birth to Mahibhanu. Mahibhanu gave birth to 9 sons. And middle son was Vrishabhanu. 4 were older to him, 4 were younger to him. And he was a middle son. He was made the king because he was most virtuous of all. And willingly, the oldest son made him the king because of his virtuous qualities. And there, there's a village called Mukhara. That Mukhara village is 1 kilometer from, around 1 mile from Radhakund in the Govardhan area. And there was a Gopa called Indusena. And this Indusena Gopa got married with Mukhara Devi. And they settled down there in Mukharai village. And they gave birth to many girls. And one of them was Kirtida. And that Kirtida was the incarnation of Kalavati, one of the 3 most chaste ladies in the whole universe. And then Vrishabhanu Maharaj was great friends with Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj recommended this Kalavati, who came as Kirtida, as a proposal for Vrishabhanu Maharaj. And then thus Vrishabhanu Maharaj and Kirtida got married. And you know, for Nanda Maharaj, Vrishabhanu Maharaj proposed Yashoda, who was the daughter of Sumukha Gopa and Patula Devi. Sumukha and Patula from Mehrano village, which is about 8 kilometers from Nandagaon. And she was such a beautiful girl that she would give success and glory and fame to everybody who came in touch with her. So her brother was Yashadhar, Yashavanta, Yash, and she was Yashoda, the giver of all good fortune and fame and success. So then Nanda Yashoda got married. And then Vrishabhanu Maharaj was by the inheritance, was the king of all the Braj Bhumi. But out of deep friendship with Nanda Maharaj, he also parted with some kingdom to Nanda Maharaj. It's also explained that Mahibhanu and Kunjabhanu also were friends with Parjanya Maharaj, the father of Nanda Maharaj. And they also had parted with their kingdom out of love and friendship to them. So originally it belonged to Vrishabhanu Maharaj's ancestry. But they shared their kingdom, shared their reign, rule with their friends, partly. The royal insignia were shared or were parted with them. And in the course of time, you know, Parjanya Maharaj shifted to from Nandagaon to Gokul because of the atrocities caused by Keshi demon. And there Parjanya Maharaj gave birth to 5 sons, Upananda, Avinanda, Nanda, Sannanda and Nandan. And then he handed over his kingdom to Upananda. Upananda handed over to Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj became king of his part of the kingdom. And Vrishabhanu Maharaj became king from his part of the kingdom. And both of them were living at the banks of Yamuna, and both of them didn't have children for a long time. In the course of time, Krishna was born. There is a long story on Janmashtami, you heard. On Bhadra month, in the waxing moon, on the eighth day of the waxing moon, like every single day, Vrishabhanu Maharaj was going to Yamuna to take his morning bath and do his meditation and offer prayers. So usually when he goes, what is happening is, it is always dark in that time. When you go at 4 in the morning, it's always dark. Except in Mayapur, at 4 o'clock, it's already bright light. You know, because on the eastern side of India. Before I go to the early morning Leela, which happened with Vrishabhanu Maharaj, I will go back to the flashback. What happened in the flashback? There were many mountains in India, you know, Vindhyachala, Himachala, and there are so many big ranges of mountain. Sahyadri Mountain, Vindhyachal. And they are all great devotees of the Lord. They are serving the Lord in the form of being mountain. So Himalayas got married with one of the great chaste lady, Maina, and that they produced the beautiful girl called Parvati. Parvata, Himalaya Parvat, that is mountain, gave birth to a girl whose name was put as Parvati. So Parvati was most chaste girl, very beautiful girl, very attractive girl, very chivalrous and very powerful. And then she fell in love with Lord Shiva, and then she got married with Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva is Mahadev, although he is being the son of Brahma. Even though being his father, Brahma worships his son as Mahadev, the greatest of all the demigods. And he's truly a Mahadev. So this was like a talk of the town in the whole universe, that Parvati Devi married with Lord Shiva out of choice, who is a mendicant, who puts all the ashes around his body, and is a most renounced personality, doesn't even have a house, sits under a tree, and all time meditating on the Lord Krishna, Lord Ram, chanting the holy name of the Lord. And to that mendicant, wandering mendicant, this beautiful girl, daughter of a king, Himalaya, got married with. So it's like a very famous love story. And Mahadev was invincible. No demigod could defeat him. He was so powerful, at the same time so renounced and such a great devotee of the Lord. So Vindhya, the another mountain, he felt that, oh, my fellow mountain brother has such a beautiful daughter who got married with such a beautiful, powerful man. I also must have a daughter. And I want to have a daughter whose would-be husband would be able to defeat Mahadev also. Did you get the point? My mountain brother's daughter got Mahadev, Lord Shiva, as her husband. I want to get a daughter who will get a husband who will be able to defeat Mahadev also. So he called Brahmanas and he told them his desire. And he told them that, please do a yagya and get me a daughter who is so powerful that she will get married to a person who will be defeating Lord Shiva also. So they performed yagya. And they begot two daughters for Vindhya. Vindhya Mountain. He got two daughters. One is Radharani and one is Chandravali. Both were born to this mountain. Very happy, and now he was waiting for them to grow up and get married and found and wait till who will marry, because he knew that he will marry them to a person, obviously by their dint of their past karma of the yagya, the husband will defeat Lord Shiva also. So the news also spread that Vindhya got a daughter whose husband will be able to defeat Lord Shiva. And the news came to Kamsa also. Kamsa was there in the world that time. And he was a devotee of Lord Shiva. But he thought, oh, if I get somehow married with these girls, then I will automatically be powerful enough to defeat Lord Shiva. I'll become the Mahadev of Mahadev. I'll become Mahadev of Mahadev. This is a demon. All the time he is worshipping him for materialistic selfish powers, and now when opportunity comes, he wants to defeat the master only and become the master of the master. That is a demon by definition. So he sent Putana, because she was very expert in capturing young babies. So he sent Putana, she went flying there in the sky, and the girls were playing on the top of the mountain, and she lifted the girls instantly in front of eyes of everybody. And in front of the eyes of Vindhya and his wives, she just went away with two babies in hand. She was so big that she held the two babies in two hands and she flew in the sky. She was ordered that she should bring the two girls to Mathura, to Kamsa, and Kamsa will, out of his force and power, will marry these girls and automatically get the power to defeat Lord Shiva. So as soon as she flew in the sky with Radharani and Chandravali, Vindhya mountain called Brahmins and said, sit down and light a fire right now, chant mantras that she will get burned in the sky itself. The fire element of her body should magnify so much that she should get burned to ashes in the sky and should drop down the girls and will catch them. So instantly the Brahmins were so powerful, they sat down for the fire sacrifice and started offering oblations to fire, chanting mantras which were creating the increase in the item of fire in their body of Putana, and Putana's body started instantly burning from within. She was unable to bear the heat which was increasing in her body, and it became unbearable within few seconds, and she dropped one girl in the state of Maharashtra only, because Vindhya mountain is today also in Maharashtra state where we stay, where Bombay is. And Kamsa is staying in UP state, Uttar Pradesh, where Mathura is. So she had come from Uttar Pradesh, Mathura, to southern direction to Maharashtra state on the mountain of Vindhya. And from there, she is now on the way to north direction, but she has not crossed Maharashtra state. So because mantras are chanted so swiftly, so she dropped one baby. And that baby fell in Vidarbha Desha. What is Vidarbha Desha? That is Nagpur, today's Nagpur, where Bhishmaka king was ruling, where in future Rukmini was going to get born. Where Rukmi was his four brothers were there, Rukmi, Rukmangada, like that. So Bhishmaka received this girl and she fell in his kingdom. And he raised her for 5 years. At the end of the 5 years, Chandravali grew up at 5 years of age, and that time Purnamasi came from Vrindavan and took her away and gave her to Chandrabhanu, the cousin brother of Vrishabhanu. He had 8 real brothers, but one cousin brother called Chandrabhanu. And that is why she was named as Chandravali, who became the rival Gopi of Krishna and Radharani. Now, come back to the story again. Putana is still flying in the sky with one baby in hand, with increasing fire element in her body. The Brahmanas are chanting Swaha, Swaha, and she's becoming more and more and more hot. And she reached all the way to UP in Mathura district, and still Mathura was a little far away, but then she could not bear the heat, and she could not anyway continue to hold this baby in hand, and she dropped the baby. And that was something like, she was a little less than 1 year old that time. Radharani was a little less than 1 year old baby. And she fell down in the Yamuna river, and she was captured by a lotus flower which is having millions of petals. Can I have some people on video on, please? Now this is 100% people are off video. I will stop here till people come back on video. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So she dropped the baby near Mathura, and that was the day. Now Vrishabhanu Maharaj is about to take bath early morning in dark, and he saw a great golden effulgence in the atmosphere everywhere. And he was wondering from where at this time there is so much light, which is supposed to be dark at this time. He went closer in the water of Jamuna. He saw it is not coming. It is coming from a big lotus from Jamuna. Then he went closer to that lotus, which had millions of petals, and he came to know that there was a beautiful blue golden color, golden baby inside the lotus flower. And from her, all this effulgence was coming. So she is simultaneously 15 days younger to Krishna, and she is simultaneously 345 days older to Krishna also. Both are true. By the dint of her original birth, she was 345 days old, and by her birth appearance in Mathura, she was 15 days younger to Krishna. So like that. Then at the same time, when Vrishabhanu Maharaj was very puzzled and bewildered to see this unusual, that time Brahma appeared and said, "You are Suchandra of last life, and your wife was Kalavati, and she has become Kirtida. You married her. You both have performed tapasya in the last life for 12,000 years, and I have blessed you that you will become the father and mother of a internal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the girl. She is Radha. She is the internal antaranga shakti of Krishna. She is the internal potency of Krishna. Please accept her as your daughter. Take her home and raise her as your daughter with your great love and affection. She will give you perfection, and she will send both of you back home, back to Godhead at the end of this very life." So everything was reminded to them. So Vrishabhanu Maharaj very happily picked up the girl from the lotus and brought her home. And he wanted to actually, on today's day it was, on the Bhadra, 8th day of the Bhadra month, waxing moon, waxing fortnight. On today's day, at the early morning at about 4 o'clock, she appeared on the lotus flower. And Vrishabhanu Maharaj took her home, and then he wanted to celebrate big celebrations of her birthday. But he was a little sad. He felt very sad that he could not celebrate the birthday because his daughter had some inauspicious signs. His daughter would not open her eyes. That means she was blind. His daughter would not respond to any toy making sound. That means she was deaf. His daughter was not able to make any sound by her tongue. That means she was dumb also. So blind, deaf and dumb. So how could you celebrate the birthday of a blind, deaf and dumb child? Although she was so beautiful, so effulgent, her every limb was so delicate, Krishangi she was. So he was in a puzzling condition. What to do? Should I celebrate or not celebrate? At that very moment, he was in thinking, but this is early morning, not even full day by this time. And he was wondering what to do. And that time only Narad Muni arrived. And Narad Muni, being Trikala Darshi, knowing past, present and future, he knew that the internal potency of the Lord, she is going to appear in the material world at this particular time, at this particular place. So he had an astrological chart put up, and he had something like GPS. He had located the place where she would be. She must have appeared, and he came there, following the GPS indications, and he came right in the house of Vrishabhanu Maharaj in Gokul Raval. And then he asked. He was received well by the couple, and so he asked whether any girl is newborn in your house. Do you have a newborn baby girl in your house? So they were very embarrassed. So they said no. So he said, "Do you have any child in your house?" So they presented Sridhama, who is their older son. "We have a son. We don't have a daughter." So he was very upset. He said, "How can my calculation go wrong? I have put a perfect chart. I have come to a perfect location. Radharani has to be here only. But the parents are saying no. So let me go and find if I have lost my location." So he started leaving. He was puzzled. He was thinking what to do, how to do, how to find out the address of this appearance of Radharani. Then some gopis at home of Kirtida and Vrishabhanu, they said that, "Well, these sadhus are very powerful. By their mercy, who knows if there is mercy of this sadhu on your child, she may open her eyes, she may start speaking, she may start hearing. Who knows? They are very powerful. They are great devotees of the Lord. So don't tell lies to them, lies to him. Call him back and tell him the truth and pray to him that by his mercy she may open her eyes. So she sent gopis running behind him. They went running behind. Maharaj, Maharaj, Sadhu, Sadhu, Maharaj, please wait, wait, wait. There is a baby girl just now born in our house. Please come home. So Narasimha came running back because he was so happy to know that his calculations were not wrong. His location was not wrong. He came running and he was led inside the house in the inner chamber where Radharani was put in a beautiful golden cradle bedecked with jewels. And she was lying there, no movement, no sound, no eyes open, nothing. So Vrishabhanu Maharaj and Kirtita Maiya said, "Oh Sadhu Maharaj, we have a beautiful daughter born today itself, but we can't celebrate her appearance because she is blind, deaf and dumb. Can you please let us know how to go about it, how to solve the situation, how to cure her, how to make her eyes open?" So Narada Muni said, "Yes, yes, no problem. I'm sure she will open her eyes. 100%. I will tell you the solution. You just go ahead with celebration of her appearance and have a grand celebration. But do not forget to call Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, Rohini, Krishna and Balaram. Call everybody from Gokul, all the Brijvasis, and let them come and enjoy with you. You celebrate, you donate, everything you do." So he immediately sent everybody away, Narada Muni, you know, to prepare because there was short time. So they all went dispersed to prepare, to invite and to prepare and to arrange and organize. And that led Narada Muni to be alone with Radharani. And still she had closed eyes. When everybody went away, Narada Muni again offered her Dandavat Pranam. First, when he came inside, he saw the baby, he realized, he recognized, he offered Dandavat Pranam again and again. And again, and everybody went away. Narada Muni again offered pranams to. And Radharani appeared in front of him in 16-year-old youth form. The way she is always living in Goloka Vrindavan. The fresh youth of Kishora, 16-year-old age. And then, Narada Muni fell down unconscious again and again. Repeatedly he fell down. In ecstasy of having darshan of Radharani. Baby form also, 16-year-old form also, because in earthly planets when Radha Krishna appear, there is no, in earthly planet when they appear, there is a baby form. But in Goloka Vrindavan, there is no baby form. There are always fresh youths of 16-year-old age. So you don't see baby forms of Krishna, Balaram, or Krishna, Balaram, or Radharani. Everybody is grown up. Only when they appear in the material world, they appear as crawling babies, in newborn babies, you know, drinking breast milk and crawling, learning to walk and talk and everything. So that beautiful baby form is only available in the material world when they appear. So all the demigods, devarishis, they all come down to take darshan of baby forms of the beautiful forms of the Lord. There are so many stories. When Lord Ramchandra came, when Lord Krishna came, when Radharani came, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, Nityananda Prabhu came, all the demigods, devarishis would come down to take darshan of the baby forms of the beautiful Lord. So Narada Muni then said, "Radharani, please show me your darshan with Ashta Sakhis. I want to see with Ashta Sakhis, your 8 prominent Sakhis." So she said, "Go to Kusum Sarovar." So Narada Muni dancing in ecstasy, tumbling down in ecstasy, rolling in the dust, he reached Kusum Sarovar. And there on the birthday of Radharani in Raval, Narada Muni was met with Vrinda Gopi and Madhuri Gopi, 2 intimate gopis of Radharani. They met with Narada Muni and they gave bath to Narada Muni in the southern angle of Kusum Sarovar. And as soon as Narada Muni got bath, he became Naradiya Gopi. He was transformed into a gopi, into a female form. And then these 2 beautiful gopis, Vrinda Gopi and Madhuri Gopi, they decorated that Naradiya Gopi into a beautiful gopi. And they took that gopi by hand and made him walk on the invisible bridge which is there on Kusum Sarovar, leading to the world of the lotus, where there is a jeweled, bejeweled throne on which Radha and Krishna are seated. And they both of them held the hand of Naradiya Gopi, took her inside, right in the middle of the world of the lotus, and gave Chamara in her hand, and she served Radha and Shyam Sundar, seated on the bejeweled throne, with the chamara. Chamara dulabo kobe eribo mukha chandra. Beholding their beautiful lotus-like faces in between the movement of the chamara whisk, Narad Muni really relished the service to Radha and Krishna. At the end of his satisfactory service, Radharani said, please stay in Brajbhumi and write the book on Pancharatrika Vidhi, the way of worshipping our deities. So Narad Muni said that, I have a curse from Daksha Raja, King Daksha Prajapati, that I cannot stay more than 3 days in any place. So Radharani clarified that Daksha's curse is applicable in the material world. And this is not material world. This is my home. This is Vrindavan Dham. You can stay as long as you want. Take your time and stay here and enjoy the beauty of my abode. So Narad Muni was so ecstatic. He had darshan of all the 8 gopis. I didn't tell you that. When he was entering the lotus flower, he saw the 8 gopis standing on the 8 petals serving Radha and Krishna, who were seated in the middle of the whorl of the lotus. So Narad Muni, in the form of Naradiya Gopi, saw the Ashtasakhis, saw Radha and Shyam Sundar, got a chance to serve them. After serving, Narad Muni was taken back by Madhavi Gopi and Vrinda Gopi. Again, she was bathed in the southern petal of southern corner of the Kusum Sarovar, and he regained his male form again, having Veena in his hand, and he went further ahead 1 kilometer, and he stayed there only. And that place is called as Narada Kunda. So Narada Kunda is a residence of Narad Muni, where he stayed and wrote the beautiful scripture called Pancharatriki Vidhi. That is also available in ISKCON. So this is all happened on Radharani's birthday, please understand. And there what happened? He left from there and the festival was organized and everybody came and they all met each other, and Vrishbhanu Maharaj and Kirtita Devi, they were meeting everybody, embracing everybody, welcoming everybody, you know, really treating them so nicely, lovingly. And then what happened? Krishna, the baby Krishna, crawling baby Krishna, out of, you know, what do you call, they were so busy in interacting with themselves. So they lost the sight of Krishna baby. And baby Krishna crawled and crawled and crawled and chose his way inside the home, where there was a cradle and there was Radharani in the golden cradle with bedecked with jewels. And as soon as he entered the room, the divine aroma, fragrance of the body of Krishna entered the nostrils of baby Radha. And recognizing the fragrance of her beloved, she opened her eyes and she started crying. When she cried, all the engrossed people who were busy with meeting each other, they just ran inside the house to see for the first time that the baby girl has opened her eyes and she's crying. Such a sweet sound, which is called killola. Killola means very beautiful cry, which is very pleasant for the ear. It's very purifying and enlivening. Another story says that Krishna crawled and crawled and crawled, went all the way up to the cradle. With the support of the cradle, he stood up and he touched the baby inside. And he touched the baby inside with divine lotus hands. She opened her eyes and she looked at the beloved. So the first thing she looked at was her beloved Krishna, his lotus face. And she made loving sounds in response to that. And everybody came running. And then they understood that this is the potency of the sadhu Narad Muni. That he had told them the solution, because Narad Muni is Trikala Darshi, knower of the past, present and future. He knew everything. So he knew the history behind why she was not opening her eyes. He knew that she will open her eyes only when Krishna will come in front of her. So he arranged a festival and particularly instructed Vrishbhanu Maharaj to have Krishna Balaram come with their parents for the festival. And sure enough, they came and Krishna gave darshan to Radharani, and Radharani opened her eyes. And then Vrishbhanu Maharaj was so happy, he could not find Narad Muni to remunerate him well, but he had already gone. But he was so happy that he was extremely happy. He was much more wealthy than Nanda Maharaj also. So he distributed so much wealth that all the Brajbhumi was filled with jewels that day, because he would distribute pearls and finish the he was distributing pearls, and sadhus would go with pearls, and they come to know that, oh, he has opened another treasury of diamonds. So drop their pearls on the ground and they'll come running to pick up the diamonds in the gift. And then they would distribute diamonds, and he will collect diamonds, and they will start going away, and he'll open another treasury of rubies. And then they come to know, oh, he has opened a treasury of rubies, and drop the diamonds and go to pick up the rubies. And like that, they went and back and forth so many times. And it is explained that because Sriji Radharani is the epitome of all the Lakshmis, of all the wealth and Aishwarya, opulences. So the treasuries were not getting over, although distributing, but the treasuries were not getting over only. And each and every atom of the floor of the land of Vrindavan Dham was filled with jewels, because everybody just dropped their jewels everywhere on the road. And nobody bothered to pick them up because there was such a wealth exhibited that day. That is a sign of Radharani's birth. It created opulences everywhere. Even the most poor people, they had their grain storage filled up with grains. And everybody had, you know, halwa and pudis and sweetmeats and fried pakoras and everything in their homes. Usually they would beg and not even dry rotis also. But their houses were filled with such food items and such jewels and everything. And then Rama, Lakshmi Devi came disguised as flower garland seller. And Uma, Parvati came as other disguise. And Indra's wife came in some other disguise. And so many ladies and men came in different disguise to take darshan of baby Radharani. And Kirtida Devi was wondering, who are these beautiful ladies and beautiful men? We have not seen them in Barsana, we have not seen them in Rawal anytime in Gokul. These look to be unfamiliar faces, but how could she ask them, who are you, from where you have come, who has invited you for this function? So she remained bewildered. They came, they blessed the child, they saw the child, they praised the child, and they went away, and she could not ask. Prishbhanu Maharaj could not even ask. So all the demigods came. And there was a huge celebration, and they were all wonderstruck looking at the wealth and opulence of Prishbhanu Maharaj. How much he was donating. The demigods were bewildered to see the opulence of Prishbhanu Maharaj. So that is how Radharani's birth was celebrated. They sang songs, and Prishbhanu Maharaj organized so many singers and so many dancers. And there was so much festivals. It is explained in scriptures that Narottam Das writes a bhajan about the birth of Radharani, and she says that the instruments and the singing was so loud that the guests could not speak to each other. There was so much of music and so much of dancing and so much of joy was there, and it is said that the ladies were throwing butter and yogurt and milk on each other, and everywhere there were flowers and jewels and dancing and singing and so much joy that, oh, Vrishabhanu Maharaj and Kirtida Devi finally got the baby girl. The angel-like girl, so most beautiful girl on the whole creation. And thus they celebrated very joyously. And everybody swung the cradle of Radharani. Radharani was so happy seeing Krishna. And this is how she made the entry in the lives of Vrishabhanu Maharaj and Kirtida. So with these few words, we will conclude our narration of the beautiful appearance of Radharani. Hare Krishna. Jai Jai Sri Radhe Shyam. So now if any of you have any questions, we can take your questions, and there is an opportunity for unmuting yourself. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the very, very beautiful class. So,
who's speaking?
This is Bhargavi Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji, for
this. And okay.
It was very nice that we take Barsana Dham and all the pastimes. We didn't know, so many pastimes were very new. So you really can.
There are many, many, many more unlimited pastimes. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
So, anybody has questions? Otherwise, we can conclude our session.
Yes, Prabhuji. If there are no questions or comments, we can end here.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Hi, Krishna.
Hi, Krishna. Yes.
Can you hear me?
Who's speaking?
I'm not able to read my... Okay. My name is Gail. Let me see if I can do my video. Yeah. Hi, Krishna.
Yes. Hare Krishna.
Can you just repeat that part? Hare Krishna. Can you repeat your explanation of how Radharani is simultaneously...
I think one week younger and 45 days old. She was born about less than a year earlier to the Vindhya mountain. She was born as a twin babies to Vindhya mountain about less than a year ahead of time. So she was raised for almost a year by Vindhya mountain. And that time Kamsa sent Putana to steal her. So when she was being stolen, she was already almost a year old girl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then when she was dropped by Putana in the Yamuna river on the lotus flower, of course when she was falling, lotus was produced there by the mercy of the Lord. And the lotus appeared and, you know, gave her a beautiful reception on the lotus flower. And that was considered to be the birth of Radharani to Vrishabhanu Maharaj. And that was 15 days after the birth of Krishna, born to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. So from the local contemporary situation, she was 15 days younger to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And from the actual consideration, she was almost 345 days older to Krishna. So that's how she was older to Krishna also. And younger to Krishna also. Both are the truths. Simultaneous truths. Achinta Veda Veda. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so
Thank
much.
You. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes. Who is that?
This is Shyamagori.
Huh.
My name is coming different.
Loudly, please. I can't hear you. Can't hear you.
I'm driving, Prabhuji.
So what is your question?
No. I don't have any question, Prabhuji, but I just wanted to say thank you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Does Lalita Mataji and Dinabandhu Prabhu have any question? Do you have a question?
It is phenomenal.
Oh. Please bless me. Bless me and pray for me.
Thank you for your kind association.
Hare Krishna. You are in which part of the world?
We're in Sandy Ridge, North Carolina.
Carolina. Okay. Hare Krishna. Nice to see you and meet you online.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
So with these few words, we will end our session. And with deep gratitude on the beautiful day of Radharani's appearance, it is beginning for you. It is ending for us. It's almost evening, 6:30 p.m. here in India. But it's, I think, the morning time for you, Bhagavatam class time. And I wish you to have a very happy, blissful, devotional Radhashtami. And I wish and pray to Radharani to bless all of you with her priceless jewel of love for Krishna.
Thank you.
Is capable of giving that to us, all of us.
Thank you.
Vishwaroop Prabhu ki jai.
Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.